Welcome back to Sharing the Burden. Raj, it's over to you.
Thank you, Jason. Well, we're going to shift a little bit to the spiritual aspect of today's program. I know it's I'm not trying to force the word God onto you, but today's I follow the Life Recovery Bible and the Life Recovery Daily Devotions, and today's reading is from the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 7, where it talks about enduring hardship like a good soldier or a good athlete, because like I've mentioned before, recovery is a lifelong process. You know, it even as an athlete or as somebody striving to be to excel in their field, you have to work hard for it. And I think it's the same thing applies. The same principle applies to recovery. You have to work. It's not going to be handed to me on a platter and say, "Oh, here you go. Recovery is done for you."
It'd be nice.
No, it does not. That's true. So it's the same thing. Even when a farmer, he has to work in his farm, in his fields, to get a good harvest. There comes in hard work, and I think that same principle once again applies to the life that we do. I mean, the journey that we are on, you and me, and that itself is, to me, it's a huge blessing. I don't know what it means to you today.
Yeah, I like actually just you referenced there about the farmer there, and it is truly, you know, and I was told that, and I think when I didn't accept recovery in the beginning, I just didn't want to do anything. But when I finally got it and understood the work that was ahead of me, I really grasped onto it and was and accepted and dedicated into it, knowing that no, it's not going to be. I mean, I'm sure we've heard the pink cloud people talk about sometimes, right? And you know, it's sure you feel good, you feel healthy, but there's the balance, as you said, mentally, physically, you know, emotionally, like spiritually, all that has to work in conjunction, right? So I need to understand that life is not going to be easy. That's one of the reasons why I became addicted to my drugs of choice and alcohol and so forth, because I wasn't willing to do the work. And but I again back into the, you know, I love this. This is my line of the day: faith without works. That's the work. That's the hard everyday work where I have to, you know, you constantly hear, if you're follow sports at all, you constantly hear about, in any degree of sports, whether it be hockey, baseball, football, you know, these guys are coming off the field with an injury, a broken this, a twisted that, and they're getting bandaged up, smacked, tied up back together, and get back out there and do your job, so to speak, right? And that's in a sense, you know, without being malicious, that's the way I got to see myself today. As a, you know, that sucks, that hurt, that slowed me down a little bit, but I got to get back to work. And I have to do what I have to do, because as it says in the reading there, from the NIV, that, you know, if I want to have a good harvest as a farmer, it's gonna be backbreaking sometimes, and I have to be prepared to, for that, and just have faith that I'm going to get through it.
Yeah, that's truly, that's what is said actually in today's reading, and also very appropriately put it by you, Ian. It's something that I read, you know, when I was shared, I think it's in verse 6. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I briefly read that just before we started the show here, and that really stood out to me there for sure.
So we put in the hard work, but we do this for ourselves, not because somebody else reaps the benefits.
That's right.
But the benefits are added onto our kids, our family. Yeah. In your case, your wife, Amy, and your kids.
Yeah.
In my case, it's my sons, and then my sister, because I can reach out to her today and help her in whatever way I can. And the same thing applies to our kids, right? Because the bottom line is our children need us in today's life.
Absolutely.
With all the chaos and the plunder that's going on, and like you mentioned, the social media, they need a strong supporting hand. I mean, moms cannot do it all by themselves, so...
No. To have the extra support there, and, you know, I mean, you hear of it all the time, especially with children. Not to keep focusing on the children part, but it's just, this is my journey, and this is where my life's at, so I can relate to a lot of those things. And, you know, I don't know if you, when you were a child, Raj, you'd go to mom and say, "Mom, can I have this?" And she'd say, "Nope." And you'd go to dad, and you'd say, "Dad, can I have this?" "Well, what did your mom say?" "Well, she said to ask you." You know, you've tried to play. So it's nice, I think, for in even using that same analogy in sobriety for me, my boys can bounce different ideas off me that they wouldn't bounce off their mother, because they know that I'm doing the work that I need to do and staying focused on my recovery. And I'm going to have the best possible answer that I can provide them.
Yeah, it's funny when you talk about children bouncing off things. There's something about my kids, and, you know, I always insist that they call or talk, and then they say, oh, Dad, we're very busy, and they're trying to bullshit, you know, sort of. And I told them, I said, you don't need to bullshit a bullshitter.
Do you know where I come from?
You know where I've come from?
Yeah.
So even explaining to kids and making them understand, you know, what recovery is all about, it's sort of imparting, you know, wisdom to them and telling them that's what life is all about.
Yes, yes, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, going back to you, Ian, what is your typical day in recovery?
As I said, right now I'm not working. What I'm doing is, I just had a little brain fart there. Sorry, guys. Every morning, I've been off work since I went into recovery, into a treatment center back in December 17th of 2017. And, so since then, I'm automotive by trade. So I lived as a functioning alcoholic for many, many years, just sleepwalking, I guess, is how it was. So I got very good at my job, but so I've been off work for that time because I needed to focus on myself for recovery. It's very shortly, I'm going to be getting back to work, but it's not something I've approached just yet. Probably in the next maybe 6 months, I plan to be back full-time work in that trade. So, maintenance is huge, and that's what I was told. I mean, one of the best parts about this program for me is that I was able to get myself a sponsor that is walking me through these 12 steps and teaching me what he was taught. And that's very, very important to me, because it's almost like putting it on autopilot again. I can just listen to what I'm being told, and I just have to do what I'm being told. And, so, you know, I'll get up. I'm not a sleep-in type guy. Even if I was, I find it important that I still need to get up at a working hour. Like, I'm still up about 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'll have my coffee. I'll have my meditation is very first, very, very first. You know, wake up and do your bathroom thing, of course. But I'm back into my room, door closed. I live with 6 other guys right now in the recovery house I'm in, so it can be busy. But I go back to my quiet place, and I do my meditation. Now, that could be a number of things. I have a multitude of books out there, any of those 12-step-based self-help books. As I've said, I'm very involved in the AA and the NA and the CA program. So there's a lot of different readings, like the JFT, is one, book from, it stands for Just for Today. That's through NA, and it's a daily meditation. So each day of the year, I will open that book up, and there's a short little passage there, and just a little something to, like, a devotion that I can kind of reflect on. I say my third step prayer, of course. I pray for any challenges or worries that I may have for the day coming, just to have the strength and the wisdom to move through those smoothly. Physical exercise is huge for me. I see you snickering there. it truly is, though. Lately I've been slacking off because I haven't renewed my gym membership, but I do have a mountain bike, and that was one of my passions, to go into the woods and to be with nature. I find myself the closest to God spiritually. So I do get on my mountain bike at least once a day, sometimes very short ride, and sometimes I can go on an epic 3-hour ride. And that just consists of being by myself. It's, I really need that alone time to be alone with my thoughts and to have that open conversation. Prayer to me isn't only, you know, getting down on my knees, which, to be honest with you, I don't even do. I'll sit on the edge of my bed or even in the chair in my room. But it's also an open conversation as the day goes on. You know, as I'm riding my bike, as I'm whipping through some trails and enjoying that beauty, I really give it all back and be thankful for where I'm at. Eating. Because I was in addiction with alcohol, the health side of things. Again, as you can kind of see where I'm going here with this, Raj, I got the spiritual aspect, I'm getting the physical aspect, right? Because it's the balance, and that's what I was told, is to make sure you have the balance. When I'm hungry, eat. When I'm tired, sleep. Now, this is where the hard work comes, because, as I mentioned, I'm going to be moving in with my family to another house. Therefore, I have to get back to literally work. And the hard work for me is not only physically doing the manual labor at a full-time job, it's also maintaining those three items of my life. I have to make sure that I'm having a breakfast in the morning. I have to make sure I'm packing a lunch for work. I have to make sure that I'm home to spend family time and dinner with my children and wife. And then I have to be off to a meeting. And I can't wear myself out in any one of those areas. I have to have all three of those areas very, very strong if I'm going to continue going through this. And that, and again, we kind of keep going back to the whole, the works. You know, I have to put my foot forward first and show that I'm willing and ready to make changes in my life in the right direction is basically how I see things like that. So routine is a big thing for me. Absolutely.
That's quite a insight about your day to day recovery in, somewhat the same for me too, mm-hmm. but I like to exercise.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I was smiling away.
Yeah.
Anyways, I want to talk about, since we're talking about step 10 and talking about inventory and how we do that every day, and especially, and I was thinking about, I think it's in the big book too, that's what I have in front of me, emotional hangover.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have an hangover, the hangover was from alcohol. And I used to feel miserable, and obviously I could not function the next day. But I have realized, I've come to realize that if I carry resentments or some kind of negative emotion with me, I have an emotional hangover.
Yes,
the next day.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And that, you know, it makes me very uncomfortable. And if I have to have a life peace and serene, then I need to eliminate those hangovers. And I think that's where, you know, recovery steps come into play, you know, especially when you're doing your your inventory. Inventory for me is like, I have to do it every day. Mm-hmm. I have to readdress, go back the previous day and address my flaws and my character defects so that I do not repeat it again and have that emotional hangover, that kind of pain, you know, because who wants to go through that? I don't want to go through that pain again.
No.
Yeah, so what's your take on emotional hangover?
Yeah, I was going to say, would you agree, possibly, I'm just kind of juggling around some ideas as you were saying that there and agreeing with you that kind of, with that inventory, like, that's when I feel it, you know, you as you said, you wake up or even go to bed and you're something is bothering me. Whether I know it clear as day or whether I'm not sure what it is, but I have to analyze that and understand, okay, did I do something wrong? Or am I not being honest with somebody? Am I not dealing with something in my life that I need to deal with, whether it be on a small scale or a big scale? And that's where I think, where I see my emotional hangover come from. You know, a simple thing like this, this whole back and forth with the real estate agents, like we're just renting a home, but holy smokes, it's like we're buying a home with all the back and forth and the forms and the talking on the phone. Like it's crazy. And although I say, yes, I've got it. I feel good. I feel confident. I feel happy. I've truly noticed, and my close friends have noticed, that I'm a little bit distracted. And so that emotional hangover can be very obvious, and it can be very hidden at the same time too. And that's why I have to review everything that's happening in my life on a daily basis, and just to keep aware of all that stuff for sure that's going on there. Absolutely. And when I feel that emotional hangover, I need to look hard and say, what's happening here? What's going on? Maybe talk to my sponsor. Maybe talk to a close friend and just say, you know what? Do you see something different in me today? You know, the past couple of days, is there something that I did or said, or, you know, just to kind of be open about it. Honesty was a milestone for me when I started to grasp that, the freedom of honesty, and when I'm feeling like crap, you know, who's the one that's going to be in the most pain if I'm not honest? It's only going to hurt me in the end, right? And that's what I've been learning mostly. So
I totally agree when it comes to being honest about oneself. You know, I mean, the advantage of being in a 12-step program is, you can call your sponsor or talk to your sponsor.
Absolutely.
In the morning and share your emotions, your feelings. But at the same time, it's always also, you know, possible to have that same kind of relationship with God or a higher power or a higher power of your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the spiritual connect comes from. Ultimately, in the end, from my experience, the sponsor will definitely turn around and tell me that, you know what, you meditate and leave it to God. And he mm-hmm. shows the way, right? Or a higher power, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go too much into the spiritual aspect, but there is somewhere along the way that way a person in recovery needs to have that spiritual bonding.
Yes. Yeah.
With a higher power.
Yeah.
For me, it's God. But for some people, it's a God of their own understanding.
Yeah.
But there's always something, another spirit that is more powerful than all of us within the realms of life, right?
And I'd just like to add to that, too, real quick. You know, I again, not to go into the spiritual aspect too much, but again, it's amazing how things happen and the way things go. And at the house, the sober house I'm living in, there's a gentleman, he's in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he comes to the house every Monday night, and he'll sit with us from 5:30 to 6:30, and we basically have a little meeting. And the topic was, I just went blank there.
It happens.
Step two. That's exactly what it was. And we did a reading about that, and it was in Bill's story, I believe. But what it was is that it's basically understanding, came to believe that there's possibly, now the word possibly isn't in there, but just came to believe that there was something greater than me. And that doesn't have to be God. That doesn't have to be Buddha. That doesn't have to be any of those different religions. It just has to be the acceptance of, yes, you know what? That sun comes up in the morning and I don't control it. And that's kind of a really good stepping stone that I've noticed a lot of people to get around the aspect of spirituality to religion and to understand the difference between those two things. And, it's funny that you just brought that up because, that was a big topic of discussion there last night at our meeting.
Thanks, Ian. That makes a lot of sense when you talk about honesty and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because those three words, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, it's, I think, the fulcrum of my recovery today.
Yes.
If I was not honest with myself, I could not have been honest with my sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
I think before being honest with God, I needed to be honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was not honest with myself right all these years. That's the reason why I was suffering in the hells of my addiction. And the day I got honest is when I understood that and accepted that I had a problem.
Right.
I guess you can correlate honesty and acceptance in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
They are two different words, but they are somewhat interlinked when you talk about recovery or trying to get off, you know, a life of... you know, hopelessness and, you know, deceit, lies. That's the kind of life that I lived. But that's what recovery is all about. There's something that I want to read from the life recovery. It's just a short thing, passage from the book of Timothy. The Apostle Paul used three illustrations to teach us about perseverance because that's what recovery is all about. He wrote to Timothy, "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hard-working farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things." It's like, you know, like the soldier we're in a war that we can only win if you fight till the end, like an athlete. We have to train for a new way of life and follow the steps of recovery to the finish line. Like the farmer, we must do our work in every season and then wait, patiently until we see the growth.
And then, yes, I like that.
But if we stop working our program before reaching our aim, we lose everything we have fought for, trained ourselves for, and worked hard for. You cannot win the race for recovery by just going part of the way.
Patience, perseverance, and persistence.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Something that my sponsor keeps telling me, that you need to exercise patience and faith. And I'm the biggest culprit. I don't do that. I'll be very honest about it.
You and I both.
Yeah.
All right. So, on that note, I think we'll take another break, and then we'll come back for the final few minutes of Sharing the Burden here on Whistle FM.